That is Roe Family Singers, Down by the Riverside, off their album Heaven Send Us Better Times. They are going to be performing at Fest du Nord this weekend, up at Camp du Nord. They are playing along with The Nunnery, Galen Lee, Jeremy Messersmith, Molly Mayer, Charlie Parr, Little Fevers, and more. It's going on all weekend long. And Ozo Motley, before that, brand new music from them. Redline is the name of that song. Coco Taylor started that off with Mother Nature, featuring Carrie Bell. You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota. We are people-powered radio. Join us at KAXE.org. We had a winner for the Daily Slice of Green Cheese. Kathy from Grand Rapids answered the question correctly and is going to sing in Chihuahua Taco Truck. Question again. Which painting was stolen from the Louvre in 1911 and not returned for over 2 years? And the answer, my friends, is the Mona Lisa. And it was stolen by Vincenzo Perugia, who was an Italian decorator who had worked in the Louvre and kind of knew the ins and outs of how the Mona Lisa was very unsecurely secured. And but actually, a fun fact here, Pablo Picasso was among some who were arrested originally under suspicion of stealing the Mona Lisa. Picasso was not the thief. It was Vincenzo Perugia. And you can catch the Daily Slice of Green Cheese every weekday morning around 9:45 and tune in Saturday nights from 7 to 9 for KAXE's popular Green Cheese Trivia Show. This week's host, Justine Jacobson and Shannon Antla. And I'll tell you what, after being down at the State Fair last week, green cheese, everybody knows green cheese. People would come up to us and not know much about KAXE, but they knew about green cheese. So be sure to tune in this Saturday. It's good fun. Speaking of stolen, I started the documentary yesterday on the stolen ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz, of course, that went missing from Grand Rapids. I have thoughts. I don't know if you've started it at all or if you're going to be watching, but let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Text 218-326-1234. Weather for today, it is currently in the 60s around the region, Brainerd at 68, Grand Rapids 67, Hibbing seeing a little bit of showers at 65, Bemidji 63. Those slight chance for showers and thunderstorms will continue today, partly sunny, highs near getting up to 80 degrees. Tonight, about a 30% chance for some showers and thunderstorms, lows 53 to 56, and Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Those 70s continue on Friday with mostly sunny skies. KAXE's question of the week, and I am taking notes because I have children and I love always getting book recommendations. What were your favorite books to read as a child? Text 218-326-1234. I was big into, of course, The Babysitter's Club, Babysitter's Club Little Sister, Sweet Valley High, and Betsy and Tacy. That was kind of a throwback. That was one that my mom introduced me to, and I read all the Betsy and Tacy books. So if you have suggestions or thoughts on what you read as a child, love to hear from you. Text 218-326-1234. We had some great suggestions come through this morning. And Pam from Rockford texted in saying, being a young girl who never liked obeying the rules, I loved the books of Pippi Longstocking. And I wrote that one down because I also loved those books and movies. And I totally forgot I need to introduce my 8-year-old to that. Lily from Bovee also said Calvin and Hobbes. I still will read Calvin and Hobbes. So much of that humor is absolutely relevant to adulthood. So if you have suggestions or answers on your favorite books to read as a child, text us 218-326-1234. You all know Grand Rapids River Fest is coming up next Saturday, September 6th. It's a great community-wide event. I know folks who come not necessarily even for the music. They just come because they love the event itself. So whether or not that's you or you're coming because you're a huge Courtney Barnett or Margot Price fan or Alan Sparhawk, who I was able to have a conversation with last week ahead of his performance at Riverfest. And we get to hear that conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Sparhawk is a longtime fixture in the Duluth scene and really a music legend. He and his wife, Mimi Parker, are credited as inventors and pioneers of the slowcore genre through Low, Black Eyed Snakes with Charlie Parr, Retribution Gospel Choir with Steve Garrington and Eric Pollard, a.k.a. Actual Wolf, Derecho Rhythm Section, among many other things. He's now making music under his name with the 2024 album White Roses, My God, and his newest venture with another fan favorite, Trampled by Turtles. He's kicking off Grand Rapids River Fest on Saturday, September 6th. Alan joins me now on KAXE. Thanks for your time today, Alan.
Yeah, no problem. Hello to everybody.
So we have been playing your latest release a lot, which I said before earlier, you recorded with Trampled. You've magically hit that blend of it all being you, Alan, while at the same time still very much Trampled. The songs are beautiful, heart-wrenching, a little gutting sometimes. Lyrically, you talk a lot about the process of grief after losing your wife and musical partner, Mimi. What was that like to, you've released so much music in your life. What was it like to release something that was so, so personal and vulnerable?
Well, for sure, when we set out to get together and play some, record a couple songs together, I didn't necessarily envision a record. It was more just, hey, we've got some time. We've always talked about getting together and recording some tunes and playing together. And a day opened up when they were going to be in the studio. So I was able to go meet them down there. And I brought the tunes that I had. Some of them are old. Some of them were new and definitely inspired by the loss at that point. And I think, it ended up going pretty well, and we've recorded more songs than I imagined we would, and that's when it started to feel like it could be a record or a release. But it was fun. It's definitely a new experience for me. We've known those guys a long time, and we've done shows together years before, and a few of the members have played on our records and vice versa. So it really made sense, and it really was a pretty unspoken environment. We knew what we're after. The guys that are friends, they knew Mim too, and there was sort of a reverence for the situation there. And so it was really beautiful. It was really smooth. I kind of knew that it would go easy. They're really good musicians, and we all kind of have a similar vibe and approach to just kind of standing around and working out a song real quickly and putting it down. I was nervous for sure a little bit, and it was a little bit, there were tears and moments that really felt pretty transcendent and extraordinary. And I've been lucky to do a lot of different music over the years and work with a lot of different people, but this was really beautiful. It's just some friends playing some tunes together and sort of all being on the same page because of friendship and what I'd been through and their love.
Yeah. The ease, from what I had read about it and from what you just said, it sounds like it came together fairly quickly. And it's almost like that ease and also authenticity really translates with the lyrics. Like the match of that is so great. If you'd taken so much more. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Honestly, when I lost Mim, I didn't have a desire to write about it. In some ways it felt small and sort of insignificant and almost an insult to the depth of the situation to kind of just be like, okay, I'm going to write some songs, but I've never been an intentional writer. It's more just I try to do my best to open the window and see what comes in. And yeah, it was interesting that there were a few songs for sure that couldn't help it but be written and come out of me. And I guess when that happens, you try to honor that. I was in good hands. Those guys had taken me the first summer after Mim had passed, those guys invited me to ride along on some shows that they were doing out west and a couple different trips, just to be friends and be supportive without having to soothe or come up with answers or words to address grief. It's more, it was just friendship. And yeah, it was weird. I was nervous about singing. I had still been struggling with that, and hearing my voice without Mims was kind of a shock and kind of disorienting to me at first. But I was with friends, and I wanted to step up and do my best with it, because they were bringing themselves to it 100%. And I don't know, by the time we got done mixing it, I started to become a little more comfortable with it, and it felt like the right way to reintroduce myself to singing and letting myself write.
Well, I wanted to ask you about, you were talking about your voice and about, because when we had talked in 2023, you talked about that very thing of just kind of not knowing your musical voice at the moment, and where to go from that. And that is an obvious shift from the White Roses, My God, because you use the vocal filters throughout that album. And so when I first heard Stranger, the first single that was released from this one, that was the thing that struck me most, was just your vocals right there, right there and present. Just that process of figuring out what your sound was, is.
Well, yeah, the first recordings that came out of me were like you said, the White Roses, My God record is a lot more electronic, and I'm using this effect on my voice that really changes the sound. And for some reason, that was a doorway to being able to sing without hearing my own voice, and as crazy as that sounds, it's kind of almost like putting on a costume or putting on an act in a play or something. And there's something about sort of sidestepping your own ego a little bit and your own identity a little bit that kind of opens up the possibility for your mind to then say the things and sing the things and write the things that are in there, but that seem to get blocked when you start hearing yourself. And so I think it was important that I did that record first and sort of let myself let out what was inside me. And there were a couple songs on there that I was actually able to bring into the Turtles session and do a version with them. But yeah, going in with those guys, I was still a little anxious about my voice, and I didn't, it was really hard to get a bearing on whether what I was doing was any good. I know it sounds strange, but loss of someone who's really close to you, especially someone you work with creatively, can really be disorienting, and really, really things that you thought were so foundational are just turned on end, turned upside down, and the foundation is really pulled out from under it. But in the studio, we demoed, not well, not demo, we tracked the music kind of all standing in a circle. And then when we go back to, you kind of overdub the vocals. And I remember the time going like, man, I can't tell if this is any good. I'm questioning myself a lot here. But I felt like that, because, I don't know, there was a little bit of obligation, I think, because those guys had made room for me and kind of put their trust in me, so to speak, that I kind of had to tell myself, I just need to push through and just sing, do the best I can, and trust that I'm in the hands of good people. Nat Harvey mixed the record, was really helpful in getting me to see what was good and what worked. And in doing that, I feel like I did. I found my voice. Trusting those guys, and then, some time had passed. By the end of it, I felt like I was okay with my voice, and I could look back and say, well, that sounds pretty good. And, singing is an imperfect art. You're always going to hear your own flaws, no matter how hard you work on it and how much you tweak it in the studio. But for sure, it was definitely able to come to a point where I could hear myself, and I could be happy with what I'd done. And since then, doing more shows, it's sort of settled in more. And there's definitely, I'm constantly reminded of what's missing. Mm-hmm. And I still have to work very hard to sing well, but nonetheless, I enjoy singing. I always have, and it's definitely, it's nice that its perspective has come back.
Yeah. Another voice that I find to be a central figure on the album is Ryan Young's violin work.
For sure.
That violin work is just, it cuts right to the quick. It the way he can capture human emotion through that.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan Young's very, very talented musician. I mean, all the guys, all the Turtles are, both Eamon, the cello player, yes. and Ryan really, really brought a lot of surprises and depth to the recordings. And they spent a lot of their energy and time kind of working out some really cool things. In particular, there's a song on there called Screaming Song.
That's the one I was talking about, yes.
Yeah, we were there and I said, well, here's this song. It kind of goes like this. And then I go into this section and I kind of turned to my right to Ryan and I said, you know, this, then after this, you know, after these couple lines, there's a instrumental section over these chords. And if you feel like, you know, why don't you just go ahead and see what you can come up with there. And so we went into the take and Ryan started playing this solo and it was literally our first take and he just absolutely blew the ceiling off. And I think there were many, we were shocked and it was a wonder that we were able to even finish the song because I really felt, you know, there were multiple people in the room in tears. And, that's just one example of the talent and heart and soul that he brings to everything that he does. And yeah, when we went to mix that song, I insisted that we turn that thing up as loud as as loud as they could stand it, and because it really speaks volumes. But yeah, it's, I don't know, there's so much there. There's shock, there's sorrow, there's denial, there's fear, there's anger, there's resignation, and love, all in this solo that he basically pulled right out of his head.
Well, and the surprise of when I saw the title of the song is the very first time I was listening to it, you know, I'm thinking that you would go vocally into maybe some screaming, and then it ended up that was the violin that did that. And it was just like, oh, I like how that flipped that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. When I play it with just my three piece with my son on bass and Eric Pollard on drums, it's, you know, it's obviously a different arrangement and, you know, we have to kind of capture that moment in a different way. And every time we play it, I think of him and I miss that part, but yeah.
So you have been out on the road a lot. You've been in Europe twice.
Yeah, this year it feels like I've been over maybe at least maybe three times doing different legs, you know, sometimes just a couple weeks at a time. And that sort of just is the nature of that. You build tours around the offers you get. And, you know, sometimes it's festivals and things like that. But yeah, we've been over there a few times. And yeah, this last time was really fun. And at least the three piece has been, it's been really tight, and I've really enjoyed traveling with my old friend Eric, and my son Cyrus is a really talented musician, and it's really just a pleasure and an honor to get to still do this.
Does it feel like, you know, talking about translating Screaming Song into the trio, what has it been like figuring these songs into that configuration?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess I like to think that most of the songs I write are kind of pretty pliable. You know, you could play them on the piano, you could play them on an acoustic guitar by yourself, or you could rock it out with electric and louder instruments. And then, you know, and of course, you know, with a larger ensemble of players. So, I don't know. Yeah, you find a different version. There's definitely things that you miss, but then, you know, sometimes the different version has its own spirit and you kind of play off that. But yeah, I've always I've always enjoyed sort of the challenge of, okay, well, this is cool, but how are we going to play it live? And sometimes you find new things, you find new ways to do it, and sometimes, more visceral, but I think music fans like that. I think once you're familiar with a certain song, it's, I guess I like to think that it'd be interesting for fans to hear it, this way or that way.
I think anyone who's a
But
fan of you understands that it might be different every single time, and that's part of the fun of it.
for sure. Yeah. I mean, letting a little bit of the secret out, it looks like we might have Dave Carroll from Turtles playing banjo with us at the show in Grand Rapids. So there'll be a little flavor from that. And we have done some shows with him. We did one in Chicago with him. It was really a highlight of the tour. And Dave's an old friend and has played with me pretty often.
So Hollis is on the record in Not Broken, and boy, that similarity to Mim's voice is striking on that song.
Yeah, that song is that was a song that Mim and I had been working on at the end there, and never got a chance to record, or well, never didn't get a chance to finish it and record it, and kind of worked on it a little bit and brought it to the Turtles session. And I don't know, when we did it, I thought, well, this might be better to have. I just, I knew I wanted a different voice to sing Mim's part, and it just made sense to have Hollis. I mean, I'd heard her with I played music with her before, and she has her own band called Willem Dafoe Fan Club, and she writes music and sings, and I had definitely heard it before and realized that she has a very similar voice to Mim's, and it's, yeah, it really, it's pretty, it kind of takes your breath away the first few times you hear it. And it's been nice to have her sing that. I'm not surprised, but we do, yeah, I do get a lot of comments and people just saying like, wow, she really sounds like her. And that happens. Some of it's genetics, some of it's just because you grow up in the same house, you're gonna hear that voice, you're gonna hear the music, and it's family. So it worked out well. It's cool. She's a great singer.
So between that and Cyrus going on tour with you, they're obviously on the music train. And as much as you enjoy playing with them, I know you do. Did that ever make you nervous that they were going down that path?
Oh, for sure. There's no shortage of heartache and danger doing music, whether it's just the traveling, the characters that you run into sometimes, the dangers to your life. And there's a million ways that you can be get your heart broken, as far as putting your heart and soul into something and it just not sticking, or something not working out. It's pretty treacherous, and the numbers and statistics are pretty grim, for anybody endeavoring to do it. But you kind of have to, and I think the best attitude is to remember that you do it for yourself and because you love it, and you get something out of it, and all the other dangers, come and go if you stay true to yourself. But I think they're pretty smart. I think they recognize that it's fun to do, and sometimes things work out that you're able to do more of it. It's safe to say I know they do it for the love, and that'll pretty much get you through any dangers and disappointment for sure.
So we've not only just been playing your album, but Robert Plant just released a cover of Lowe's Everybody's Song as the first single to his upcoming solo album. Okay, and it's not even the first time that he's covered you. What is that like, having someone like, I know you've met a lot of people in the industry, but that's got to be wild.
Yeah, that's really wild. That first came to be maybe, I don't know, it's probably been about 8 or 10 years ago. I don't know, somehow Robert Plant, who apparently he listens to a lot of music, listens to a lot of new music, apparently for some reason came across our CD in a record store and it caught his ear, and then it got stuck in his car for a long trip one time, and he really fell in love with the music. And
is it started, true? It got stuck in his car?
Yeah, that's what he says anyway. He's told us that it got stuck in his car, and he had a long drive one time, and he just ended up listening to it over and over again and falling in love with it, and started doing covers with the band that he was with. And, you know, if you look at his career the last 10, 15 years, that's what he does. He finds music, he finds tunes that are cool, whether they're old or new, and brings them into whatever project he's working on and whoever he's working with. So, I don't know, somehow he started doing some of our stuff. The first time when he did a couple songs on the Band of Joy record, someone at some festival came up to me and started congratulating me. Like, what are you talking about? And they said, oh yeah, Robert Plant's got this record coming out with a couple of your songs on it. And we hadn't heard anything about that up until that point. And, you know, sure enough, 2 months later, it was out. And at some point after that, we met him. He came and saw Low in England a couple times, and it was really great. He was a really generous person in person, kind of person who just kind of comes up, starts talking to you like a friend, and 20 minutes later he's gone, and you feel like you've met a new friend, and that's hard to do. I mean, most people that are celebrity that you run into, you recognize pretty quickly that you need to give them their space and that they only have so much energy for people. But he's pretty generous. And yeah, it was earlier this year that I was on tour over in Europe and saw him play in Amsterdam, and kind of out of the blue, his band started playing this song, and I'm like, wow, what? And I said hello to him backstage, and he said, oh yeah, we've got a record coming out in a few months, and this is going to be the first single. But yeah, it's definitely an honor. Mavis Staples did one of our songs a few years back, and that was really an honor as well. And yeah. Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders has a record coming out
that you're on.
I sing the duet with her, and then her and Debbie Harry sing a Low song on that. And so it happens. I mean, part of it is just being around this long and people coming across your music, you know. And for anybody out there that's doing stuff, if you feel like you write stuff and you put it out more and doesn't seem to click, just don't worry about that. Just keep doing your stuff. People are going to find you, and you'll be glad that in the long run that you did what you did, and you'll have something to be proud of to look back on. And it's nice when bigger stars find things, but really the true joy is knowing that you did something that was true to yourself, and that you put the work in, and that's more satisfying than selling a lot of records or playing a big show, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of, you're playing a show in Grand Rapids, right along the banks of the Mississippi.
A big one.
I mean, let's put big in quotes.
No, it's
for Northern
it's
Minnesota.
Big festival. Yeah. I don't, to this day, it's really rare. Usually it has to be some big festival or on some other bill that, you know, it's not very often that I play for more than a couple hundred people, to be honest. You know, I mean, we just got back from, you know, we did a week in England and we played four nights, and there were maybe 200 or 300 people each night at different towns. And then we played a festival where there were, you know, 4,000 to 8,000 people. And that's fun, but it's rare. And again, it's on the bill with a bunch of other bands. And most of the people watching you are just there because they're curious and they've never heard of you.
Well, I think people who will be there have heard of you, you know, or just a hop, skip, and a jump away from you. But you're going to be on the bill with Courtney Barnett and Margot Price and a soul singer out of Toronto, Jeremy Albino. So we're so excited to have you a part of that day in Grand Rapids. So thanks for your time today, Alan.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for, thank you for thinking of me, and I'm glad to be there. Mim and I grew up out past Bemidji, so we drove through Grand Rapids many times, and, you know, I've been there and played at the pizza place across the way there a couple times with different bands, and And I've got a lot of friends from Grand Rapids, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Alan. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your summer.
And in Ashes. That is off of the album from Alan Sparhawk, along with Trampled by Turtles. What a thoughtful interviewee. And I'm just thankful he was willing to give the time. And you get to see him next weekend live on the banks of the Mississippi. Get your tickets at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. Alan opens up the show next Saturday, starting at 3 o'clock. Gates open at 2 o'clock. You're listening to Headwaters on KAXC, where support comes from Sanford Health with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org. And we receive support from the McKnight Foundation. Coming up at 11, it is the World Cafe. Simande is the guest today. And then at 1 o'clock, Dennis Elge is your host for On the River. And tonight at 7, it is Sarah. All right, we've got some more great music coming up this morning. First, we want to thank Hibbing Chrysler Center for their support of programming serving the Northland for over 25 years on the Beltline in Hibbing. Their service center provides regular maintenance and major auto repairs weekdays from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. More details online at hibbingchrysler.us. The Native American Music and Arts Festival is this Sunday, August 31st, from 10 to 5 at the Mille Lacs Indian Museum and Trading Post near Onamia. There will be artist demonstrations, live music, and food trucks. And the Cass Soil and Water Conservation District invites outdoor enthusiasts to their Woodlands for Wildlife event on Saturday, September 6th at the Walker Area Community Center. Check-in starts at 9 a.m., followed by a presentation and discussion, and the event ends with a free lunch and networking. Register at CASSWCD.org. Here is a new one from Theo Kroeker.
Oh, know the moves. The bow, the dip, the woo. Though the words are true, the state is old news. Wrap me in your arms. I can't feel it, but rock me in your arms. I can't feel it, but my words will dry upon the skin, just like a name I remember hearing. Wild winter, warm coffee, mom's gone. Do you love me? Blazing summer, cold coffee, baby's gone. Do you love me? Wrap me in your arms. I can't feel it, but rock me in your arms. I can't feel it, but get up, get down, get up, get down. Feel the general tension and start. See the next one waiting. Get up, get down, get up.
Vanesso with Coffee. That is from their self-titled release out in 2014. Theo Croker featuring Tyreek McDowell started that off with 64 joints from Theo's latest album, Dream Manifest. He's a jazz trumpeter. It's his fifth album as a band leader. And you are listening to Headwaters here on KAXE People Powered Radio. I'm Kari Headland. We receive support from Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids, host of the Martini Monday Music Series. Rich Mattson and Jermaine Gemberlein perform on September 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. This acoustic duo features country, folk, and rock classics. More information at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com. Now, a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find someone who really listens. That's why there's 988 with support that meets you where you are. Confidential and staffed by trained folks who want to help you when you need someone to talk to. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org. Local businesses, you can defend the future of KAXE and keep People Powered Radio on the air with your sponsorship dollars. Visit KAXE.org/give to learn about sponsorship options. Big thank you to all of our current business sponsors. Coming up in about 15 minutes, it is Headwater. Nope, we're on Headwaters right now. It's the World Cafe. Simonde is the guest today. And then at 1 o'clock, Dennis Elge is your host for On the River. All right, it is my mom's birthday today, Jan Noor, and she is soon to be a Minnesotan, and just want to give a shout out to her with a couple songs, one of which is a new one that my 13-year-old introduced to her, and she's a big fan of, new from Leve, the Icelandic jazz singer, taking the reins after Norah Jones, really kind of making a big splash in a genre that doesn't usually find mainstream success. Then we're going to do a little throwback here. This is Silver Lining from Leve. Happy birthday, Mom.
I've been falling in bad habits, staring into the abyss, drowning in red wine and sniffing cinnamon. We've been kissing on the playground, acting like little kids, making dirty jokes and getting away with it.
Oh,
We're listening to a new one from Arc de Soleil, Lumen Rain, title track from the latest album. Ray Street from Courtney Barnett. I love that time about that line about money, and money is no one's friend. You get to see Courtney next Saturday. I just botched those lyrics, but we're just going to move on, okay? You get to see Courtney next weekend at Grand Rapids River Fest, and we'd love to see you there. Get your tickets, grandrapidsriverfest.com. And a couple songs from my ma. That was I Love the Nightlife off of, she knows it well from the Priscilla Queen of the Desert soundtrack. And Leve before that, new out of Iceland. You are listening to Headwaters. You can hear it weekdays at 9 a.m. on 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us anytime at KAXE.org. Slight chance for some showers and thunderstorms today. Partly sunny skies, highs near 80. Tomorrow.